Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
The sweet smell of America. That's what they talked about. Travelers to this new continent in the 1500s and the 1600s and the early 1700s, after weeks and weeks of weary, turbulent, stinking enclosure on those leaky vessels that carried them across the Atlantic, all of a sudden you could sense that land was near. You could smell it before you could even see it. The smell of rich growth, the kind of smell that John Winthrop noticed. On June 8th, 1630, he was standing at the railing of the Arbella. Now, the Arbella wasn't just one tightly crowded and rather smelly ship like the Mayflower. It was a flagship of an entire fleet of colonists, extremely well-organized colonists, coming to the New World 10 years after the Pilgrims had landed in Plymouth. And the first sight of the New World was the coast of Maine. That spectacular coast of Maine with the boulders down right aside the crashing waves, and then the towering pine and fir trees hanging over the water. John Winthrop looked at it, and then he recorded the one overwhelming impression on a June day with a fresh, clear breeze coming out to him. What he wrote was, "There came a smell off the shore like the smell of a garden." Well, of course, people would say today, the politically correct crowd would say, yes, it was a garden. It was a Garden of Eden. Before people like Winthrop came here and spoiled it, it was a natural paradise where Native Americans, allegedly, lived in perfect harmony with the landscape. But then the Europeans came, and they ruined it, and they contaminated it, just like John Winthrop. One of the worst of them, because John Winthrop was, gasp, dare we say it, a Puritan. The entire word Puritan has come to be something of an insult. It's supposed to mean a witch-hunting, intolerant, narrow-minded, theocratic bigot. Somebody miserable. You want to insult somebody today, you call them puritanical. You want to insult somebody in politics, you call them a Puritan. And yet these Puritans, led by John Winthrop, did more and contributed more to the actual founding of what later became this country than the Pilgrims that we hear all about, generally in fairly positive terms, every Thanksgiving. Why is that? I mean, after all, you cannot compare the significance of the Puritan colony of Massachusetts Bay with its headquarters in the town of Boston with the little and out of the way and always insignificant colony of Plymouth, founded by the Pilgrims. The town of Plymouth in 1637, even with all of its satellite towns, had a grand total in population of 537 souls. But that same year, there were already between 4,000 and 5,000 people up in Massachusetts Bay. And before 1640, in what was called the Great Migration, just 10 years, an estimated 20,000 Englishmen came over and settled the Massachusetts Bay Colony. It was so much more important as a seat of learning, as a seat of power, as a seat of commerce, that by 1691, it simply swallowed up the old Plymouth colony. They looked on the struggling settlers at Plymouth almost with a sense of pity. They were, after all, similar in their religious approach, but different on certain key areas. They referred to the people in Plymouth as the first comers. They gave them that honor, but not as people to be taken terribly seriously. The Puritans, however, were serious people. Why don't we give them their due? Why do we forget about them with the Thanksgiving story? Well, obviously, a great deal of it has to do with the negative historical PR. I want to tell you today that that is totally undeserved. Very much like the Pilgrims before them, these were absolutely remarkable people. And what they were giving up to come to the New World was far more than what the Pilgrims gave up. Remember, the Pilgrims journeyed from England to Amsterdam, to the town of Leiden in Holland. They were storm-tossed, they were exiles already. Going to the New World was just the latest stage on their pilgrimage. But these Puritans, they were important people with a big stake in England. So why did they leave? They left because of political crisis, the kind of political crisis that eventually led to the English Civil War. And a bloody war it was, a war between king and parliament, between cavalier and roundhead, between Church of England and Puritan. The term Puritan was thrown at the parliamentary party, not initially in a pleasant way. It didn't mean the people who were trying to purify themselves, or even trying to purify all of society. It referred to people who were trying to purify the church, to purify the church of its Catholic so-called papist trappings, to get rid of those bishops with their mitres, and all of what were considered the infections of this world and of royalty, getting back to a more pure Christianity. Now, this idea had actually caught the imagination of a great many important and influential people in Old England. And one of them was John Winthrop. His father and his grandfather before him had been very important, very wealthy, influential landowners in County Suffolk. John Winthrop was Justice of the Peace in Suffolk. That was a title of some authority. He was a man of wealth, of prominence. He might have played his role in Parliament, but it seemed that King Charles had designs against Parliament, and so did his appointment. Archbishop William Laud, appointed Archbishop of London in 1628, a very bad sign for the Puritan party because Archbishop Laud was ruthlessly cracking down on people, even executing people who he felt were opposing his version of the truth with the Church of England. It seemed a time when if you were a Puritan, you either had to stay and fight, and many did, or you had to consider leaving. And a group of Puritan leaders who met in Cambridge had decided the time had come to leave. After all, what needed to happen was the true church needed to be kept alive somewhere out of reach of the king and his evil archbishop. They had the idea of planting a new colony near that struggling town of Plymouth. That town had begun to actually make some money through trading in beaver pelts. But money wasn't the idea here. The idea was establishing a perfect Christian commonwealth. Now notice, there is something very, very different here in basic motivation between pilgrims and Puritans. Pilgrims simply wanted to get away from Old England, to lead out their lives of Christian commitment, completely separate from any interference. The Puritans wanted something much grander. They wanted to reform the world. And that idea caught the imagination of John Winthrop. After some hesitation, he yielded to the logic and to the pleas of a lot of his neighbors and of his fellow religionists and committed himself fully to this dream of establishing a colony in Massachusetts Bay. How committed was he? He sold all of his land to raise money for this Puritan colony. That colony, he was convinced, could serve as a bulwark against a rising tide of superstition and disbelief and unchecked Catholic power. That was something of which he had great, great fear. In later times, that Puritan colony could also serve as a model for the restructuring of all of England and of Europe itself into a true Christian commonwealth. Winthrop felt within himself an irresistible rousing of the spirit that disposed him to this remarkable, extraordinary, and daring course. But remember, this was no humble yeoman farmer. This was a gentleman of influence, selling all his lands, risking everything on a gamble. But they wanted to make absolutely sure that there would be as little gambled as possible. Things were organized in terms of ships. Things were organized in terms of animals that they would bring along, supplies. There were several dozen ships that were going to be involved, 1,000 colonists who had committed themselves, Puritans, and some people who came along for the ride. But the problem was, what good is it unless you can get a charter from the king? From the king? King Charles is going to charter a Puritan colony, giving some rights to land? to people who oppose everything that King Charles is about? Well, what happened was absolutely remarkable. We'll tell you more about it when we return.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listener's Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Sail for the new world is one thing, but knowing that once you get there and establish your colony, it will be legally recognized by the king, that is something else again. Before we get back to that fundamental question, one of the big questions involving Massachusetts Bay Colony, this Puritan experiment in the wilderness, I wanted to tell you a little bit about the music that you're listening to at the beginning and the end of each of these segments. I find the music absolutely delightful. It's about as close as we can come to music from the 1600s. In fact, it is music from the 1600s. I have absolutely no idea whether this music was played in Plymouth or in Massachusetts Bay. Probably was played at one time or another in the 1600s in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, because these were smash hits of the 17th century. There were 17 editions, in fact, published beginning in 1651 of these country dances from Henry Playford's English Dancing Master. That's the music. The performance that we're using is from a terrific CD called An American Journey, Bound for the Promised Land. The Waverly Consort performs it. It is an EMI Angel CD, and it's outstanding. Again, I find the music infectious. The choral music as well. I also wanted to give you a little bit of a word on some of the sources that we're using here. Probably the most valuable of all these sources is an outstanding book called The Light and the Glory. It's written by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. It emphasizes some of the truly surprising and irrational elements in the story of the founding of America and the American Revolution. It's a sensationally readable and wonderful book. I can't recommend it highly enough. The Light and the Glory by Marshall and David Manuel. Another fine book about the whole colonial experience is A New World. Subtitle, An Epic of Colonial America from the Founding of Jamestown to the Fall of Quebec. The author is Arthur Quinn. He writes with almost poetic and musical skill. A bunch of other sources that I've tried to weave in here, including a leaflet that you can actually get from Plymouth Plantation. Plymouth Plantation is the museum that commemorates the Pilgrim forefathers and their experience. It's a museum in Massachusetts. Their phone number, by the way, is 508-746-1622. 1622, highly significant here. They have published a fine book called The Thanksgiving Primer, A Complete Guide to Recreating the First Harvest Festival for your family, friends, or church. And it's very well done and very useful. I hope well done and useful for you also are the series of history tapes, including what you're hearing today. They are available through Tree Farm Communications. This is Michael Medved History Tapes. We have, as you know, a great number of American Revolution tapes, ranging from the Battle of Lexington and Concord and Paul Revere's ride on through the Declaration of Independence. You can call Tree Farm Communications, 800-468-0464, 800-468-0464. But no 800 number was available to allow John Winthrop and the other Puritans to call up King Charles I. Not sure he would have taken their call either. No one is entirely sure why he let this charter for the Massachusetts Bay Company get by him. Maybe, some historians assume that King Charles heard that a bunch of these Puritan troublemakers wanted to sail across the ocean. Lots of people had died crossing the ocean. Lots more had died once they settled the New World. And Charles sort of heard that they want to go, 1,000 of them, and maybe more later. They want to leave England and leave me in peace and leave me alone and sail off to the New World. Good riddance! So the charter was issued. But there was one remarkable aspect to it, one aspect to that charter that no other charter at the time had. Now, you remember that the Pilgrims had this problem, which is they were responsible to sending all profits and a share of anything that they raised or anything that they made back to investors in London, what were called venturers, people who had just put up some money to help equip their expedition, but really made the decisions for the colony back in London. The same thing was true of Jamestown and the Virginia Company. The Virginia Company didn't come to Virginia, it stayed in London. And you had this tremendously difficult situation of not being able to run your own affairs. Well, the Massachusetts Bay Company charter allowed the directors and the general court, the decision makers, for the colony to be in the colony, in Massachusetts. In other words, goodbye, Charlie. King Charles would have very, very little influence on people 3,000 miles away, especially people as determined and resilient as these people were. How determined were they, you might ask? Well, one of the most famous documents of the colonial period is a model of Christian charity. John Winthrop, just as they were about to land, he by now had already established himself as the natural leader of this remarkably disciplined, well-organized group that was coming initially to the little fishing village of Salem, a village that had already been established, that was struggling along under the unsmiling leadership of a really unpleasant fanatic named John Endicott. John Winthrop was coming initially to that village of Salem. Later, they understood Salem wasn't going to work so well. They were going to move elsewhere. But meanwhile, he wrote down and spoke the words of what the entire venture was about. And he wrote this: "Thus stands the cause between God and us. We are entered into covenant with Him for this work. We have taken out a commission. The Lord hath given us leave to draw our own articles. Now the only way to avoid shipwreck and to provide for our posterity is to follow the counsel of Micah, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. For this end, we must be knit together in this work as one man. We must hold a familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberality. We must delight in each other, make one another's condition our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together, always having before our eyes our commission and community in this work, as members of the same body. So shall we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We shall find that the God of Israel is among us, when 10 of us shall be able to resist 1,000 of our enemies, when He shall make us a praise and glory, that men of succeeding plantations shall say, 'The Lord, make it like that of New England.' For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill." They believed the eyes of all the world would be upon them, and their example could help change the world, purify the Church of England, in fact, purify all of society. How close they came to achieving their goals? Well, what kind of place was this New England that they built? Do these sound like mean-spirited, cruel, intolerant, miserable guys? Not hardly. We'll tell you the awful truth, and actually the wonderful truth, about the Puritans as we return.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
You're listening to a special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. To download this history program, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. And for a limited time, when you become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com, everything in the Medved History Store is 50% off.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Two mass shootings in the span of 4 days has President Joe Biden renewing calls for an assault weapons ban. While visiting a firehouse in Nantucket, Massachusetts, Thanksgiving morning, the president criticizes the sale of assault weapons in the United States.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. Just sick. It has no social redeeming value. Zero. None. Not a single solitary rationale for it except profit for the gun manufacturer.
TSA says 7 million passengers have gone through security at the nation's airports since Monday. They say that more than 2.4 million people went through security Wednesday as they made their way to their Thanksgiving destination. Thanks for listening and happy Thanksgiving. You're listening to USA Radio News.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Were not puritanical. You can read any number of books that preserve their letters and their diaries, the earthy love that husband and wife felt for one another is actually touching and it's inspiring and yes, it's very physical. They certainly believed that intimacy between a husband and wife was a gift from God. That family, the children were a great gift from God. In fact, were a trust that the Lord asked human beings to keep, raising that next generation for a community of believers. The Puritans were successful in the New World almost immediately. They established this colony in Massachusetts. They never went through a starving time, anything like what the people in Plymouth or in Jamestown went through, partially because they were so practical. They understood human nature. Perry Miller, who was a legendary professor at Harvard, actually spent his life trying to convince America that, wait a minute, the Puritans are far more interesting and substantive than commonly believed, certainly in the popular culture. He wrote this, "Puritanism would make every man an expert psychologist. To detect all makeshift rationalizations, to shatter without pity the sweet dreams of self-enhancement in which the ego takes refuge from reality. A large quantity of Puritan sermons were devoted to exposing not merely the conscious duplicity of evil men, but the abysmal tricks which the subconscious can play upon the best of men. The duty of a Puritan in this world was to know himself without sparing himself one bit, without flattering himself in the slightest, without concealing from himself a single unpleasant fact about himself. And you also couldn't conceal unpleasant facts about your neighbors. Why not? Because if your purpose was to build a Christian commonwealth, to build a model society, to live as a city on a hill, Well, then, you would be judged by God. You would be judged by the rest of humanity based upon the sins and the mistakes and the cruelties and the failings of your neighbors. The reason that morality was strictly enforced by civil law was that the entire fabric of covenant life together depended on living in proper order and following biblical rules in joint obedience to laws of God. If some one person sinned, it affected everybody. There's an example. In 1656, a young girl named Trial Poor was arraigned before the Middlesex County Court, and she confessed that, quote, "By my sin, I have not only done what I can to pull down judgment from the Lord on myself, but also upon the place where I live." So did they burn her at the stake? Of course not. They didn't burn people at the stake at that time. Trial Poor's tearful confession convinced the magistrates of her sincere repentance, and they were more than ready to forgive her. In fact, forgiveness was the goal. The ultimate punishment was excommunication from a church. That was a huge punishment. The churches in every community were independent. To be a member of a church, you had to convince the other members that you had had a personal relationship established with the Lord, a personal belief experience. It wasn't so easy to do at all times. And by the way, unless you were a member of a church who had so convinced the other members of a church, well, then you weren't a voter in the colony. The purpose of excommunication from a church was not to condemn sinners, but to let the pressure of their sin bring them back to repentance. How did this work? Here's a fascinating case, particularly considering some current events in 1998. The case is of Captain John Underhill. He was excommunicated for adultery. And guess what? Expelled from his church, that expulsion was the very thing which brought him to repentance. He begged to be reinstated, and at length he was given leave to speak before the whole congregation. Here's what he said. He came in his worst clothes, being accustomed to take great pride in his bravery and neatness, and standing upon a form, he did with many sighs and abundance of tears lay open his wicked course, his adultery, his hypocrisy, his persecution of God's people here, and especially his pride as the root of all, which caused God to give him over to his other sinful courses in contempt of magistrates. He then justified God and the church and the court and all that had been inflicted on him. Many fearful temptations he met with beside. And in all of these, his heart shut up in hardness and impenitency as the bondslave of Satan, until the Lord, after a long time in great afflictions, had broken his heart and brought him to humble himself before him night and day with prayers and tears. In the end, he earnestly and humbly besought the church to have compassion on him and deliver him out of the hands of Satan. So accordingly, he was received into the church again. That sounds like somewhat different repentance for adultery than we hear in our own time, doesn't it?
This is the Michael Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. San Francisco's school board has ordered 44 schools to settle on new names by December 18th, replacing historic figures they've associated with racism, abuse of women or the environment, exploitation of workers, and hostility to, quote, queer or transgendered populations. Washington High School and Jefferson Elementary must go, of course, along with Roosevelt Middle School and Paul Revere K-8. Lincoln High School also makes the dishonor roll because of Abe's alleged crimes against Indians. Though he commuted 1862 death sentences for 264 Lakota warriors who had slaughtered 800 American civilians. Even Dianne Feinstein Elementary demands a change, because as mayor, she replaced a vandalized Confederate flag in a historic City Hall display. This mid-pandemic timing of staggering stupidity has outraged Mayor London Breed of San Francisco, and it's appropriate to demand that Kamala Harris take a stand on the controversy roiling her home base. Would she dare support similar insanity on a national scale? I'm Michael Medved. The Massachusetts Bay Colony was prosperous almost from the beginning. And part of the reason it was so prosperous was because so many new arrivals kept coming to the colony. And then those who were already there could help to make money by selling them the supplies and sometimes even the land that they needed. But the whole basis for the colony was work. Work was glorified. Work was doing the Lord's work. And in fact, even the governor himself, John Winthrop, who was so often governor, there were a few breaks. Thomas Dudley took over the governorship for a while. But Winthrop himself would work with his hands to set an example for his people. The important point here, though, was that nobody even entertained the idea that there should be a separation of church and state. I mean, after all, if the purpose of all this work is to create God's kingdom on earth and a Christian commonwealth, what's the idea of a separation between church and state? The pastors of the individual churches tended to be the most learned men. Of course you wanted them to influence the magistrates and the government. Some of this spirit was captured in 1636 when the church in Boston, under its leader, John Cotton, one of the most influential clergymen of the colony, renewed its covenant in the following terms. We do also give up ourselves one unto another in the Lord, and according to the will of God, freely covenanting and binding ourselves to walk together as a right-ordered congregation and church of Christ in all ways of his worship, according to the holy rules of the word of God, promising in brotherly love faithfully to watch over one another's souls. Part of watching over one another's souls involved some common sense rules. For instance, single people were forbidden from night walking. That was the term. It meant that if you were single, you could not walk down inviting country lanes with a member of the opposite sex. Single people generally were not looked upon very well in colonial Massachusetts. In fact, the idea was that there was an obligation. If single people were unable to start their own households, there was a law that required that any single person who couldn't afford to support a home of his own had to live with one of the town families. Now, in most cases, this was supposed to be a great blessing, providing a warm family environment, people who actually cared, and also providing a model that the single person would learn from. Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is... You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, but above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word BIMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCN Tax Cut. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Church service was, of course, absolutely central. And if you want to question the intensity and devotion of these people, you have to keep in mind that these church services in Puritan Massachusetts, it was considered a sign of machismo if a preacher could speak for 2 hours or longer. If he ended his sermon early, meaning, say, an hour and a half, there would be all kinds of clucks and dismissals that he didn't have the strength of God and the Spirit of God in him. Now, they actually had an hourglass in front of the congregation that they would turn over for each hour of the sermon, and there were many, many hours of the sermon. What kept people awake during all of this? Well, of course, they specifically wanted to hear the teaching, but there was another Puritan institution called the Tithingman, and the Tithingman was paid for by the congregation, and he was always watchful for any member of the congregation who was only resting his eyes. Well, you can imagine on a lazy summer day, when you're reaching the 28th howsomevers, the 40th point, somebody might be falling asleep. Well, the Tithingman, paid for by the congregation, was responsible for coming over and giving whoever fell asleep a good poke. Now, the traditional manner was that there would be a feather to wake up the women and a rather sharp point to wake up the men. In Lynn, Massachusetts, the Tithingman had a sharp thorn on the end of his staff for those whose sleep might be especially sound. Now, there's a journal of one Obadiah Turner who gave the following eyewitness account of what happened in church on the first Sunday in June, 1646. As he strutted about the meeting house, this tithingman did spy Mr. Tomlins sleeping with much comfort, his head kept steady by being in the corner and his hand grasping the rail. And so spying, Alan the tithingman did quickly thrust his staff behind Dame Ballard and give him a grievous prick upon the hand, whereupon Mr. Tomlins did spring up much above the floor, and with terrible force did strike his hand against the wall, and also, to the great wonder of all, did profanely exclaim, "Curse ye, woodchuck!" He dreaming, so it seemed, that a woodchuck had seized and bit his hand. But on coming to know where he was, and the great scandal he had committed, he seemed much abashed, but did not speak. And I think he will not soon again go to sleep in meeting. Well, generally, not a good idea to go to sleep in meeting in Puritan Massachusetts. And the colony wasn't caught sleeping either. When remarkable events in England shattered its entire reason for being. Because remember, not all Puritans by any means had come to Massachusetts. Many thousands had, and Massachusetts was thriving. But back in England, there was a Puritan revolution going on. A Puritan revolution that led to the execution of their enemy, King Charles I, the full triumph of the New Model Army under the inspired leadership of Puritan Oliver Cromwell, and the declaration of a Puritan Commonwealth in Old England. So what should that mean for the Puritans in this wilderness of North America? This thriving colony of Massachusetts, it had been created as a city upon the hill to reform Old England. Now Old England had been reformed. There was glorious triumph to the Puritan cause. Some did go back. Some of the younger men of the colony went back to take part in the great events in England. But John Winthrop and others still could not deny the reality of God's will that Massachusetts should continue. Not all the residents were church members. Not all of them were strictly religious. They were all fallen. But yet they felt that this bulwark, this Christian commonwealth, had been meant to be and needed to continue. Why don't we give them the credit that they deserve for their creation of the entire American character, for their creation of New England? Why the focus on the pilgrims, who seemed so much less important, even when we celebrate Thanksgiving? And why did both pilgrims and Puritans eventually come to judge their amazing efforts and achievements as failures? We'll tell you why right after this break.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. Exit polls from the 2020 election show signs of a stronger Republican Party building a broader base. The Trump campaign focused on winning Black, Latino, and Asian votes and, to a surprising extent, succeeded. President Trump's percentage of Black voters rose by 50% compared to 2016, and among Latino males, he scored a competitive 36%. The GOP also saw a surge in Jewish support from 24% to 31%. A rise that played a role in Trump's Florida victory. In another area, Republicans still have work to do. Self-described moderate voters, 40% of the overall electorate, pick Biden over Trump by nearly 2-1. Yes, conservatives are more numerous than liberals, so we can win without outright majorities among the moderates. But Republicans win best as a right-center coalition, and moderate shouldn't be treated as a dirty word. I'm Michael Medved. When we look at the achievements of both Puritans and Pilgrims, we are amazed. Why then were they so hard on themselves? Some 60 years after the founding of Massachusetts, all that you heard from preachers and from scholars was how far short they had fallen of the goals of founders like John Winthrop. Cotton Mather, writing three generations after the founding of the colony, said that religion begat prosperity, and the daughter devoured the mother. In other words, we had become just another rich colony, our purpose, reforming of the world, largely forgotten. It was never forgotten. The Puritan conscience could not be stilled. William Bradford, who lived for 37 years and led the Plymouth colony, the Pilgrim colony in Plymouth, felt the same sort of frustration. At the very end of his life, his last recorded words on Plymouth Plantation show that he was deeply frustrated that Plymouth had become just a mildly prosperous, normal town. But it wasn't just that. Both of these colonies gave America the gift of a higher demand, higher purpose, the notion that this country was founded for a reason. They both had that in common. The Pilgrims, much more popular to the current day because they were underdogs. They were poor, they were few, they didn't really know what they were doing, and they came and many of them died, and yet they hung on and survived. The Puritans were simply too successful. They were well-born, they were well-organized, and they were corporate in their structure, people who knew what they were doing and what direction they wanted to go. There was something else, too. Remember, the Pilgrims were separatists. They could sort of make people comfortable with the idea that they were simply looking for religious refuge from persecution. They just wanted to be left alone. There's something deeply American about that. That's why people always light out to the frontier. They want to be left alone. The Pilgrim ideal captures that. The Puritans didn't want to be left alone. They didn't want to leave the world alone. They changed the world. And that's the tension in America. Individual Americans wanting to be left alone and being thankful to God that they're able to survive. And yet these grand designs, like the Puritan design of Massachusetts, a design to purify humanity and to create a perfect commonwealth. Both of those themes, important themes in our history, vital themes in our history, celebrated on Thanksgiving, part of the heritage of Massachusetts. So important to try to understand these people in their own terms, not to judge them from the all-knowing terms of political correctness, but to recognize that it's because of Puritans as well as Pilgrims that we have the great privilege to thank the Lord that we live in the greatest nation on God's green earth.
To download this history program, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. And for a limited time, when you become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com, everything in the Medved History Store is 50% off.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. Despite possible disappointment in the outcome of the presidential race, Republicans can find reasons for encouragement in the election returns of November 3rd. GOP congressional candidates performed far better than expected, making significant gains in the House and holding their own in Senate contests. These victories have set up the strong likelihood that Mitch McConnell, himself handily reelected, will maintain the GOP's crucial Senate majority. This means that the more radical, alarming elements of the Democratic agenda can be blocked in the upper House. No court packing, no Green New Deal, no automatic statehood for D.C. or Puerto Rico, no confiscatory tax increases. The founders, who provided for a system of checks and balances to prevent too much concentrated power in the hands of a single faction, would be pleased to see that even if a Democrat ultimately wins the White House, the tradition of divided government will endure. I'm Michael Medved.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.